Hello, and welcome to the Homeschool Sanity Show, your prescription for happier, healthier homeschooling. I'm your host, Dr. Melanie Wilson, Christian psychologist turned homeschooling mother of six. Let's get started. Hey, homeschoolers, do you get excited about geology? If not, I think you will be excited after listening to this episode. My guest today is Patrick Nure. After years of field study, collecting and studying the fascinating world of geology, a good friend suggested that he might like to share some of his treasures with others. And from that humble beginning, Northwest Treasures was begun. He and his wife started out just taking unusual samples to different area homeschool conventions. When it became apparent that people really loved this, but wanted to know more of the science behind the discoveries, they began expanding into rock kits with books. But the rocks are not the only part of the story. People began to ask where they could go to collect. And they found themselves not only telling them, but taking them. And the field trips were born. And finally, the story comes full circle, with not only showing people where to collect things, but how and why the things they found were where they were. So, the seminars and education began. I am excited that Patrick took the time to share with us the importance of studying geology with our kids.
Patrick, thank you so much for joining me here on the Homeschool Sanity Show. I would love to have you introduce yourself and your family to my audience and also tell me how you got involved with homeschooling.
Very good, and thank you for the opportunity. Well, my history actually goes way, 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 way back. And I was raised in the state of Montana, so you can imagine the geological paradise there. And that was then back in 1972, I became a Christian. I was attending the University of Kansas at the time, and my life was falling apart. And of course, Christ made a lot of sense at that point. But then the first thing I did, given my geological training and love for rocks and fossils and so on, I began to question everything that I was learning in Genesis, particularly the book of Genesis. And so I knew that I needed to resolve that, because what it was doing was creating a big chasm between my faith and, of course, reality. And so I began to look more closely at the book of Genesis. I'd heard many things about it, discussion of Noah's flood, and creation, of course, was always at the forefront, and it usually is of people's thinking. We say a lot of things that we don't really understand, and a lot of things that we don't really mean. But anyway, as I was going through things and reading Genesis for the first time in my life, it began to dawn on me that, hey, these are really pretty realistic expressions that line up with the teaching that I had received in geology, and that do adequately explain things that I'm seeing. So after about a year of doing that, with the aid of a book that I read called The Genesis Flood by Henry Morris, and I think I've still got it on my shelf here, one of the original copies published back in 1961. Very foundational book, and talked about avenues of geology and so on that I had really never considered or never really been taught. But all of a sudden, I began to see the flood as a real historical event, and that it could interpret all of the rocks and the fossils and questions I had about man and dinosaurs and so on. So that's how I really got started in the whole thing. Met my wife in 1981. And we were married, and we have three children. They all live very close to us in the Seattle area. We have three grandkids. So we've talked a lot by phone and by computer. We've even played mystery games with my oldest grandson across Zoom because of the COVID thing here. I'll tell you, Seattle is normally a very, very noisy place. It is extremely quiet here. I think even the animals are practicing, you know, social distancing. It's Washington is also a very big geology state, and so I've had a lot of opportunity to continue to practice things that I see in the Book of Genesis, and use that as a historical framework for interpreting things. Get out quite often, and up until the COVID-19 outbreak, I've done lots and lots of field trips, taught many, many classes, especially to kids. And through the years here, we got involved in homeschooling back in the 80s. So we were kind of in the throes of the beginning of things. And we used to keep our kids inside the house until the school buses went by our house. That was back in Indiana during those days. And people really frowned on homeschooling. When the school buses went by, then the kids could go outside and play. But I have very fond memories of homeschooling. And we know, too, there are a lot of parents that want to do it and that see the need for doing it. And so over the last many, many years, my wife and I have been involved in just helping parents kind of navigate through this whole thing, and particularly when it comes to understanding how they should approach the whole subject of earth science and the scripture. So that's kind of an overview. That's what we're doing today. I've written now a total of 21 textbooks from pre-K through high school. These are really for parents, too. I really got the parents in mind. In fact, a lot of motivation for writing the books has come especially from moms who come into our booth at homeschool conventions and ask me questions about things. And so I kind of make a mental note of those, and those get published in my next textbook. So the textbooks I've written are not only very colorful and succinct and clear for kids, but also for parents. I don't publish any parental guidelines or parent teacher type things, because I know the parents have the same questions that their kids do. And so if they'll just simply read the textbook right along with their kids, they'll get their questions answered and their kids will get their questions answered as well. So overview of who I am and what I'm doing and where I live now, but enjoy it. And this is what I'll probably be doing for the rest of my days.
Yeah, well, that was really interesting. I love hearing people's stories. So today we are talking about your passion, which is geology. And it sounds like it was a passion from the get-go for you.
Yeah, that's right.
But what if it isn't a passion for the homeschooling mom who is listening right now? Why should she seek to teach geology in her homeschool?
Well, I'm sure every mom has experienced this. I have seen very, very few kids who aren't fascinated and passionate about rocks and fossils and minerals and so on. And of course, the parents, I don't know what happens. I've managed to maintain my interest and passion. My mom and dad both were really involved, even though I went to a public school. They were both very involved in our lives, but we had a big family. And so as dad worked to keep bread on the table, mom worked at keeping a lid on the home. But she did something, I don't know whether she did this knowingly or unknowingly, but she would recognize, because of, you know, the time constraints, she'd recognize what interest we kids would have. And then she would just promote ways of encouraging that. So that's what she did when I was a kid. And so every chance that seems like every chance anyway, that came up for me to be involved in looking for dinosaur bones or rocks, my dad and mom were right there. They'd take me off. Sometimes my dad would drop me off and say, I'll be back to pick you up at such and such a time. And that really worked very, very fine. But anyway, kids are interested, and I think parents are so driven to get their academic requirements done and get to answer the question, am I homeschooling my kid right? Is my kid going to grow up to be warped? You know, this kind of thing, that they overlook the forest for the trees. They don't see that the kids having an interest in something is really their teachable moments in life. Those of us who've raised kids, we know that there aren't too many of those. You know, we're constantly having to pull our kids back by the collar and, you know, don't do that, don't do this. But these kinds of opportunities, something the kids are interested in, really present a lot of teachable moments for the kids. Now, this subject of earth science or geology, I think to most parents, is really treated like a stepchild. they do it because they either have to or they need some fun time to fill up some of the space, things like this. But rarely do parents consider earth science or geology to be an equipping time for the kid. We're building a worldview into the kid. And a lot of times with earth science, we leave that up to public television or the libraries or even Christian textbooks. And for the most part, many Christian textbooks simply follow the patterns that have been laid out by secular science, you know, over 100 years ago. We might change a few things in it to be more in line with scripture, yet many things in geology are adopted. And so consequently, the kids don't learn to think critically. They don't think to learn, they don't think about learning biblically when it comes to the earth. After all, you know, the Bible doesn't give all kinds of geological Greek and Latin terminology. But it does provide us with a historical framework. And so teaching kids how to use that historical framework to interpret the things they're involved in, I think is a way to ignite that passion with parents. And I've seen it again and again and again. All of a sudden, these rocks and minerals that were found in the kids' pockets and breaking up the appliances and so on, these are now very, very important and critical to understanding a biblical view of earth history. So I really think that is really is a major reason why parents ought to be doing this with their kids.
Well, that's wonderful. What an excellent explanation. It's motivating me, that's for sure. So very good. So what do you recommend as the best time to start teaching your kids geology?
Yeah, very good question. We typically leave it to either fourth grade or eighth grade, sometimes seventh grade. We follow kind of the secular approach in that regard. The one thing I've noticed about that, though, is the disconnect between the relative unimportance we play on it and the fact that it's one of the biggest dividing points in the church today, and that is the age of the earth. That's a geological question. And so not equipping our kids to figure that out and to think critically about that, it really puts a wedge between their faith and science, which I don't think needs to be there. One of the ways to change that, I think, is to start early with a little bit of geology every single quarter or semester or year, and viewing it as a worldview equipping project. So, for instance, what I do with my Little Eyes books, which are really for grades pre-K through 3, I have three of them, Volcanoes for Little Eyes, Fossils and Dinosaurs for Little Eyes, and Rocks and Minerals for Little Eyes. And I'll just show you just a, I know we're on a audio recording, but so you get an idea of what we're talking about. Here's my book on rocks and minerals for Little Eyes. It's the little guy in the picture. It's actually a real picture on one of our field trips. He was with us on a dinosaur digging expedition in eastern Montana one year. Several years after that, he came back to say hi to me. And now he's 6 feet tall. You know, But anyway, he remembers the things that he learned. And you would think, you know, little kid, they can't comprehend much and so on. Most kids, even at that age, are way ahead of their parents in this stuff. I teach a lot of the, in the homeschool co-ops here, I teach grades 1 through 3 and in rocks and minerals, fossils and dinosaurs. And it is surprising to me, and I know every one of the families of these kids. A lot of these kids come into the class with things that they have learned, and I know their parents did not teach them those things. And it takes me about half of the first semester anyway, trying to help the kids, retrain them to think differently when it comes to science and when it comes to biblical history. So I think teaching it often and teaching it all the way through their school years, then I think helps the parent be confident they have really equipped their kid with a solid biblical worldview to handle the challenges they're going to be faced with as they leave home.
Well, that is very, very helpful. And I can see that for sure. You know, just that the picture of the book that you held up of that little boy reaching out and touching the rocks, hands-on learning, that lasts, right? That builds those memories that are long-lasting. And so I love that. Well, geology is a large field, even though it doesn't seem like it is to me. When I think about geology, I think about rocks, and that's it. Okay, so I know it is a large field, though. So what are the most important aspects of geology to teach, do you think?
Again, very good question. And I, after doing this now for almost 50 years, I have decided that there is really no correct way to teach geology. With math, you can't start a young kid with geometry. Bad, bad mistake. You start them with the onesies and the twosies, you know. But in geology, I really think the best place to start with it is with a kid's interest. So if a kid's interested in dinosaurs, start with dinosaurs in the Bible. Don't start with rocks and minerals or volcanoes. Now, out here in the Pacific Northwest, volcanoes are of particular interest because we live near some that are expected to erupt. And so everybody's interested in volcanoes and lavas and things. But I would start with interest, and then I would build accordingly. You know, what something else I found here, too, with parents is that as they are out, whether it's on a field trip or just handling specimens, all of a sudden the questions start flying from the parents' perspective. They want to know different things. Well, what about this? What about this? And so it's kind of an equipping process for them too. So I think I just want to encourage parents, look, it's not something you're going to have to grind out and bear with. You're going to find yourself interested as you touch and feel the specimens, whether they're fossils, minerals, or even lava rocks.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I think that that is absolutely the case. I had a child who was obsessed with dinosaurs, and I said I was a reluctant expert in them because I read so many books on dinosaurs to him. So I love that we can use that interest as a bridge to geology and studying that. That's wonderful. So that really ties together with my other question about this, because so many of us feel inadequate to teach geology. I know I can never remember the different types of rocks and, you know, what they are, the igneous, and I'm not even going to continue because I'm probably going to say the wrong thing. So for moms like me who feel inadequate to teach geology, what kinds of things do you suggest for them?
Well, most moms are busy. And they don't have the time to sit down and devour the books. You know, what's interesting is when I first became a Christian, I knew of maybe a half a dozen books on the whole conflict between evolution and creation. there just wasn't a whole lot out there. And those who were publishing were starving, and they were, you know, desperate to receive funds in order to keep publishing. Today, there are thousands and thousands of books written on the whole subject. But I have observed that parents and kids are no more equipped to explain how Genesis explains these things than they were when we didn't have as many books. So I'm going to suggest, and this may sound anathema, but you can tell behind me, I mean, audience can't see this, I have a huge library. I have a library of about 5,000 volumes. So I do read a lot, and I want to encourage reading. But I also know, too, most people don't have the time to do that. So I've written my textbooks with that in mind. Parents don't have to prepare. They can go into a lesson, read it right along with your kids. They'll find themselves right in front of their kids saying, huh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That really then, I think, gets the parent really involved with their child. So read the textbooks right along with your kid. You'll pick up what you really need to know and the conflicts you need to resolve, and then the equipping you'll get too. It's so critical. Otherwise, we'll be so bogged down in things that not only we do not understand, but we're going to forget, just like you did.
Right.
But, you know, having the physical stuff to handle, look at, observe, and simple explanations. I don't know why geologists make it so difficult to understand this stuff.
Right.
They do it in such a way that is so mystifying. Mm-hmm. And the languages, of course, involved in it make it very, very difficult. But simple observation and explanations, I think, are so critical in this whole thing. Otherwise, the parent's going to feel exasperated and, you know, just, okay, let's get through this thing. I know this is what my kid's interested in, but I'm not, and so mm-hmm. on. But We've got to look at things a little differently and approach it more simply.
Okay. So, you know, you have mentioned that you teach geology in a co-op setting. So what is your approach? You know, how do you go about teaching it and arranging the lessons to keep kids interested and give them that breadth of knowledge that they need?
Yeah, very good. That's a very good question. And I end up redoing these things every year, too, because I discover things. You know, mm-hmm. Our culture is constantly changing, and so we have to change a little bit with it. But what I do is have lots of color pictures for kids to look at. And the sentences are short, simple, and succinct. And then I also divide things according to the biblical perspective. So they're learning that all along. So I think if a parent will take some time just to read through, especially the first 11 chapters of Genesis, and become more and more familiar with that, familiar with the term kind, you know, trying to, what does a kind mean, you know, and this whole mystifying experience of trying to sort out species and kinds of dinosaurs. And we have to remember, secularists arrange the dinosaurs according to their evolutionary thinking, and we don't have any alternatives, so we just kind of accept whatever they say. But we'll approach things by kinds. So we start with the days of creation, making sure the kids see, hey, those really line up with what we're seeing. And then as we get into invertebrate fossils, I start with those first just because they're the most abundant fossils. I have lots of pictures, short sentences, and then I have lots of things for them to look at. I do make a lot of kits. I have over 100 kits in our inventory that are designed to help parents do this. And I think having something that the kids pass around, they're feeling it, they're looking at it. I ask them to describe it. What do they see? And those kinds of interaction, I think, help make the class involved for them. I try to involve activities that they can do. I'm really not a natural plaster of Paris kind of guy. But we, my wife has been helping me to adjust there and to do more and more activities. But I think kids too, they, we kind of assume some things, especially about young kids. They can't understand this stuff. They got to have more manipulatives. And I think manipulatives are good. I think we need them. But I think too, teaching kids just how to think about something, I think is critical. And so that's what I try to do in the classes.
Oh, that, it sounds so good. I would love to have my kids in your class. That would be great. I'll send them up to Washington.
Yeah, come on up.
Okay, so now I am really interested in the materials that you have created, because, you know, what, with what you have shared with us so far, a mom could take that and she could put together her own curriculum to teach geology. And so I'm so appreciative of you giving us your expertise and how to go about teaching this. But as you mentioned, we are busy. We are very busy. So you have already spent the time preparing excellent materials that will be engaging for us as the teaching parent and also for our kids. So can you tell us more about what materials you have and then where we can find those?
Yeah, sure. I have things divided according to grades. I know grades are kind of a subjective thing, but we have to have some place to start. And then I invariably get parents asking me, well, is this appropriate for my kid? And so I'll talk and then maybe suggest something different. But generally speaking, my materials are divided over pre-K through three. There's a lot of developmental things in that age group. Some can handle that. Some are reading. I know the co-ops that I have, some kids can read like the wind, some can't. And so we tackle things accordingly. I don't leave them out. But I do have my Little Eyes series. I showed you, it's rocks and minerals for little eyes, volcanoes for little eyes, and fossils and dinosaurs for little eyes. And those can be taken one at a time. And there's really no preparation other than getting a few of the activities together. But even those things are done from the kitchen. So the Little Eyes series, and then from there, they can go on to geology for kids, which is appropriate for grades 4 through 8. It has the typical things you would find in an earth science book of that age, but it also intertwines the biblical worldview in it. We don't just study the science. We study the history behind it from a biblical worldview. And then something I've done for grades 4 through 8, which is kind of unheard of, is that I have a lab book for grades 4 through 8. So it keeps them busy and gets them involved in thinking. And parents can see this is a multifaceted discipline. They're developing writing skills. They're honing their art skills. There's a lot of things that they have to draw. Realizing that the early paleontologists, most of them didn't have the money for photography equipment. Some did, some didn't. They had to draw what they were seeing. And so I think developing that skill is very, very important. So there's art, there's writing, and there's thinking. Right away now, we picked up three subjects in one here. So they'll do a lot of that in grades 4 through 8. And then from there, we move into the high school age. I have 4 books. One is an actually 5. The one is an introduction to the whole thing. It's called Genesis Rock Solid. It's a little bit of my story, how I went from faith to unbelief back to faith again. But it's also a critical look at how the church has really dealt with this whole conflict from the 1800s on, which is where modern geology really began. And so very critical things for people to see. Is what we're studying today totally 100% science, or is it science plus philosophy? And so it's good to see that kids start breaking that down. So the 4 books I have there are Bedrock Geology. We take a look at the nature of Genesis creation. We take a look at the flood, worldwide flood and connected to the geology, what we're seeing. And we also take a look at the history of modern geology, and we take a look at the idea of an ice age that was produced by the Genesis flood. I taught private Christian high school for a number of years, and one of my jobs was to take every kid, freshman through senior. By the time they graduated, the goal was for them to have gone through every word of scripture. Oh, that's a noble goal. But of course, with the freshmen, you start with Genesis. And kids at that age will ask me questions they don't dare ask their parents. So one of the big questions was, okay, Mr. Neri, you know, the Bible didn't say anything about an ice age. You know, what about that? And so I will help them think through the effects of the flood, even though the terms are not mentioned in Genesis, what kind of geological effects would happen as a result of the flood. And they'll go home excited and talk to their parents. Well, when I first started doing this, the principal would come in to me the next day and say, listen, I've had about a half a dozen phone calls from parents demanding that I fire you for teaching evolution. And what I thought about there was, okay, wait a minute. Now, I think this is more ignorance than it is really knowledge. It's ignorance of the fact that we have not spent the time hashing through those things. So high school is a good time to be doing that. If you're fearing that your kid doesn't have a worldview by the time they graduate and take off from home, whoa, let's begin that a little bit earlier. So bedrock geology is a good introduction. And then from there, they can go into rocks and minerals, the stuff of the earth. How much do we really know about the formation of rocks, the origin of rocks? How much do we really know? That's a good question for kids to start answering. We give them a chemistry background in that book, chemical makeup of rocks and minerals. Third book is volcanoes, volcanic rocks, and earthquakes. And in addition to looking at the chemistry of the volcanic rocks, we also take a look at the some of the philosophy involved with volcanoes. Did volcanoes really form our Earth, as secular scientists say? How do they fit within the teaching of Genesis 1? That God looked at everything he had seen, and behold, it was very good, or everything that he had created, and it was very good. How does all that fit in? Where do volcanoes pop up? What's the origin of volcanoes? And then a fourth book is called Fossils, Dinosaurs, and Cavemen. And we look at the whole idea of how the geologic timetable developed. Was it developed based on science, or was it developed based on philosophy? And we look at chronology and why the Egyptian chronology is used almost like a battering ram against the Bible. Where does that come into play? A lot of Christian textbooks have followed the patterns of modern archaeology, which places the origin of Egypt long before the creation, even in some accounts, and certainly before the flood. Well, how could we have the pyramids if the flood was a real event? And it begins to, you know, just subtly undermine everything that we're learning. And we look at beginnings of anthropology and paleoanthropology. So that prepares. I've got in mind not only teaching the high school student. And again, parents can sit down and learn this. They don't have to have a library of books before they start in on these courses. They will learn as they go. And then as they learn this stuff, they're going to develop a worldview about Earth history. And so as their kids leave home, they'll have some sources to be able to have good discussions with people about some of these issues. Mm. In addition to the courses I have, all of these come with samples, you know, that they get that are appropriate for each book. I have a special interest books like Geology in Our National Parks, taking a look at how we how our national parks have the philosophy about the origin of some of the stuff, Yellowstone and Grand Canyon and so on. And that's a very colorful book. It's becoming increasingly popular. It's subtitled Lessons in Earth Science. So now they've got a practical application of everything they've been learning. There's also one on Hawaii, the geology in the Hawaiian Islands. It's a big icon of secular geology today. How does it fit? How does that work? But anyway, I have a lot of resources in addition to those for special interest, mining and the geology of the Old West, geology and the elements, and so a lot of things that are designed just to keep feeding this and training the child in biblical worldview.
Well, I love it. I'm super interested in getting some of your materials for my students. So I love it. So where can we find those? What's your website?
The website is, it's all spelled out, no breaks, Northwest Rock and A&D, fossil.com. So Northwest Rock and fossil.com. Be sure you get the spell out Northwest, NWT won't work. So northwestrockandfossil.com. There's a place for people right away to sign up for our newsletter if they want. I do have a short little geo talk that I do with each issue. This last one we did on the mineral olivine and how it shows up as green crystals in the lavas of Hawaii. And so the little interesting things like that. Sometimes my wife and I will be driving to homeschool conventions and we'll see an interesting geological feature. We'll pull off. She hooks me up with a microphone and I'll do a little geo talk about what we're looking at. So anyway, getting the kids focused on how they can do practical geology.
Oh, well, that sounds really, really interesting too. Well, Patrick, this was wonderful. I enjoyed it so much, and I know that my listeners have enjoyed it too. Thank you for sharing your knowledge and your story with us too.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. It's an important subject, and I just want to get it out there so much more than we have, and I appreciate you doing this. This will definitely help.
Visit Patrick at northwestrockandfossil.com or visit the show notes at homeschoolsanity.com/geology. Join me next time as my guest Larry Miller and I talk about Montessori learning. Have a happy homeschool week. Thank you for joining me. Happy, healthy homeschooling can be yours. It begins with one small step. Let's continue the conversation on social media. I'm at Psycho with Six. This has been a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.